Hey there, Sega fans. Welcome back to the Sega Guys podcast, the one place where you can experience the smooth stream of supersonic Sega sound with your host and DJ, Dan the Mega Driver. Now, you may notice that I'm on my own for this video. James the Segaholic is taking some quality time out to spend with his expanding family. In the meantime, what you can expect from the Sega Guys for the next few shows is this one-off audio episode, which is hopefully a treat for your ears. And also going forward, we've got some great guests lined up. Now, for now, you may remember an episode called Now That's What I Call Sega. This was an episode that aired in Season 2, very early in the Sega Guys day, where I presented 12 songs chosen by the Segaholic and I to share with our listeners. Now, at the time, we were audio only, albeit that episode should now be available on YouTube as a rewind episode for our YouTube viewers. In this episode, I've chosen 10 more songs to discuss and to share with you. And if you're watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see some in-game footage to go along with it. If you're listening on Radio Sega or via the audio streams, then hey, we've got a treat for your ears all lined up. Our UK fans might know Now That I Call Sega is a bit of a parody of Now That's What I Call Music, and that's kind of where we got the idea from, Now That What I Call Music being a compilation album of sorts that's quite popular here in the UK. So borrowing their name a little bit, please don't sue us, and maybe we might have to change the name down the line if the lawyers get wind, but hey, let's move on from there. So this episode will likely be a shorter one than usual, so what you'll get is me introducing these songs, giving you a little bit of background about the games that they're in, the songs themselves, and the artists behind their compositions. Then you'll get the songs themselves presented for your viewing pleasure, alongside some video footage for our YouTube subscribers and viewers. We'll start off with a song from a game that you may have heard playing in the background already. Now, from the intro and while I've been talking, you may have heard Behold Precious Wings, the opening track to Panzer Dragoon Saga. We're going to move on and we're going to stay in the same game with the soundtrack to the first area, which is called Premonition of Battle. Panzer Dragoon Saga launching in 1998 on the Sega Saturn with a soundtrack composed by Saori Kobayashi. This soundtrack is one of my absolute favourites. You had the original game, which had a largely orchestral grand soundtrack. You had the sequel, which moved into more MIDI sounds to make it more dynamic and reactive to the environment. Saga moves back into a more orchestral sound, albeit not as high quality as the first game or a cinematic, but still very grand and orchestral. But because of the state of the world in Panzer Dragoon, the way that the narrative presents a world that's been ravaged by humanity and monsters and all sorts of awful things, it's a very guttural soundtrack. So on one hand, you've got all these wonderful instruments that are playing. It sounds like an orchestra is welcoming in you, but then you've got these raw drum sounds that are pounding alongside it, which represents what I feel is a tribal feel. And that tribal feel kind of follows you through the game. You'll meet characters from the Empire, which is a very much tribal, industrial, heavy-handed kind of dictatorship that tries to control all the technology in the world. And then you have the Seekers, which are more of a secretive organization. And throughout it, people live in kind of squalor, they live in camps. And that's where the real tribal guttural feel comes from, in my opinion. And that is presented no better than in this very first song, which you first find your dragon, you're thrust into this world, this large open world where you're flying around, and all of a sudden you're forming this bond, this wonderful bond with this dragon, but at the same time there's danger everywhere. It's very oppressive, very foreboding, but also kind of beautiful. You know, that very first area, you're stuck in the mines, it's very grey, but then soon you find that there's a river with transparent water, fishes leaping out of it. So there is beauty in there. There's beauty and there's danger, and nowhere else is that represented better than in this very first song, A Premonition of Battle. So without further ado, let's listen to that track right now. My next track comes from a series that is, without a doubt, renowned for its soundtrack. This is from the series that introduced the very concept of a driving game. Not a racing game, but a driving game. And I am, of course, talking about OutRun. But it may not be the OutRun game that you're thinking about, because this is the SMS-exclusive OutRun 3D. OutRun 3D was a game that tied in with the 3D glasses, a peripheral that allowed you to see in early 3D on the Sega Master System by plugging into the expansion port. But the game itself actually did allow itself to run in a standard Master System console so that you could enjoy OutRun 3D wherever you were, however you wanted to. And it's actually quite underrated, in my opinion, OutRun game. And it's very much in the same vein as the original OutRun port for the Sega Master System, albeit with updated courses and an updated soundtrack. Now, the updated soundtrack is what we're going to be focusing on in the next song. Much like other entries in the OutRun series, OutRun 3D allowed you to pick from a selection of tracks when you were starting your game. And this is one of the original songs for that entry in the series. And we're talking about Shining Wind. Now, Shining Wind is an exceptional song. And in my opinion, it stands up there with some of the very best songs in the series. And that's a quite a big statement that I'm making there, because stuff like Passing Breeze, Magical Sound Shower, Splash Wave, they're just iconic. But this is definitely up there and amongst the conversation, amongst the best songs in the series. Now, you may recognize this song if you watched my Master System at 40 video, because this is the actual title tune that I use in the opening montage and the opening scenes. And the reason for that is because I love this song. I think it's absolutely exceptional. If you've got an original Master System and you've played this game, then you'll recognize this game from the soundtrack. And you may think, yeah, this game sounds really good. But if you're extra special and you actually ended up owning the FM module, or you've got a Japanese Master System, then you'll know that the FM version of the soundtrack takes it that little bit higher. It really is an exceptional song that just keeps you playing throughout the game's stages. And even though there's other songs in the tracklist which you will cycle through, it's this one that really stands out. So let's listen to Shining Wind, the FM version on OutRun 3D, launched in 1989, the soundtrack authored by Shikako Kamitani. Let's listen to this excellent track right now. We'll be right back. Now, of course, we couldn't have a soundtrack episode without talking about the legend that is Yuzo Koshiro. Yuzo Koshiro, obviously very famous for his Streets of Rage soundtrack, but he's pretty much just as famous for the soundtrack to the early Shinobi games, most specifically Revenge of Shinobi, and that's what we're going to be taking a theme from today. This song is one that you'll hear in the first stage of the second area, and that is Sunrise Boulevard. Now, this is where you've got the waterfalls, you've got the ninjas that are flying around, lobbing darts and shurikens and stuff at you. Then you've got those tricky double jumps, the exploding barrels. It's, you know, I spent an awful lot of time there as a kid. So I think that's what ingrained that's this version of the soundtrack in my head. And it's just a good thing that the soundtrack is as good as it is. For an area that is so challenging, it's very bright and breezy, but also in typical Yuzo Koshiro Mega Drive era fashion, very funky as well. So this one came out in 1989, of course, with Revenge of Shinobi, and let's take a listen to that track right now. Our next theme is also quite bright and breezy, from a stage that is comparatively challenging to the rest of the game. Although it's not an early stage like Revenge of Shinobi, this is a somewhat later stage in Rystar, and this is actually the Game Gear version. Now, I should have noted at the start of the podcast that I'm actually choosing a range of music from across all Sega systems at home and also some in the arcade. So hopefully we're getting a breadth of sounds here. And it would have been quite easy for me to say, hey, Rystar on the Sega Mega Drive, that's one of my favourite games of all time, not to mention one of my favourite soundtracks. But the Game Gear version is very underrated, and it's a shame that that one isn't as celebrated. Well, Rystar in general isn't as celebrated enough, but it's the Game Gear version which is very unique. You know, it shares some levels with the Mega Drive version, but other levels are completely different. And this is one where it does share one of the themes with the Mega Drive game, and also one of the soundtracks. And the tune that we're going to choose to play along here is Ring Rink. Now, when I first had the idea for this episode, for the sequel to Now That's What I Call Sega, I was thinking more around kind of a New Year's episode, but obviously that's been and gone now, so it's still kind of a wintry feel. Hey, we're in January. I think we're still seeing a lot of snow and ice in parts of the Western Hemisphere and Northern Hemisphere, so it's a bit Christmassy, I guess, a bit icy, a bit wintry, but come on. It makes you feel warm inside, doesn't it? You've got to love the instrumentation on the Game Gear version for this. I think it does a great job of mimicking what the Mega Drive version does. It's just a happy, jolly, enjoyable tune, and it just makes you think of Rystar. And Rystar is such a lovely, happy star chap, isn't he? So without further ado, this is Ring Rink. And this is a Tomosako Sasaki original. I'm not sure who did the Game Gear adaptation, but Rystar launching in 1995. So let's listen to Ring Rink right now. Thank you. things a little bit airy now, but the game that it comes from is possibly a bit more dark and serious. Well, it doesn't feature any mascots. Is it more serious than Shinobi? Probably not, because it's still a little bit more upbeat, but we're talking about Konami's Snatcher. And maybe I'm cheating a little bit here, because this is more of a Konami sound rather than a Sega one, but honestly, this is coming from the Sega Mega CD game. So the Sega Mega CD port of Snatcher was the only one that was localized for the West. And anyone that hasn't played it, well, you are missing an absolute classic there. Not only is it a fantastic audio-visual game with an exceptional story, but yeah, it's just deeply engrossing. So really, you should check it out if you haven't already. Now, key to that is the vibe of the game, that atmosphere as a kind of cyberpunk adventure episode kind of thing. That all is deeply rooted in the way that everything just ties in so well together, whether it's the visuals, the stories, the characters, and the music. So the music itself is... it's not quite CD quality. It feels kind of slightly enhanced Mega Drive quality. And that definitely goes for the tune that I'm going to introduce now. Now, this tune is Entrance to Hell. And that sounds really oppressive, doesn't it? Well, the thing is, it's not. The reason why it's not is because the instance that it's introduced, or the instance that it's playing, is a little bit more of one of those kind of upbeat jokey scenes in Snatcher. Now, the entrance to hell is actually referring to the entrance to outer heaven. Now, if you're a Metal Gear Solid fan or Metal Gear head, then you probably know what I'm talking about. But obviously, Snatcher was a Hideo Kojima game, and Outer Heaven and a few other Metal Gear references are littered throughout Snatcher. Now, the reason why it's so upbeat is because at this point, our hero is, you know, he's looking for clues on to find the Snatchers, and he ends up at this club called Outer Heaven, and he's trying to get in. He has to wear a mask. It's like fancy dress. He goes inside and he meets all these other people in fancy dress, and what do you know, in the Mega CD port, they're all dressed as different characters. So yeah, it's a fantastic little piece of the game, and this music, in my opinion, really makes it. So this is Entrance to Hell from Snatcher, launched in 1994. No specific author to the soundtrack. We don't know specifically who the composer is, but the Konami Kukela Club is listed as the team behind the sound. So let's just to that one right now. So we've had a little bit of Mega CD, but hey, we've got to have some 32X now, right? Is the 32X renowned for its audio classics? It isn't, but in some cases, It really should be. And hey, if there's a game that really deserves a lot of respect for its audio design, it's none other than Knuckles Chaotix. Knuckles Chaotix is a fantastic game from an audio-visual perspective. Gameplay, you might want to check out my previous episode where I celebrated the 30th anniversary of it and did a deep dive into it. It's not the greatest Sonic game, but it's an interesting, different and enjoyable one. But the presentation is absolutely top draw. And my favourite music track from that game is Midnight Greenhouse. And what I love about it is the Mega Drive and the 32X have to work together a lot of the time. The Mega Drive is really good at scrolling and other effects, whereas the 32X has more colour, is able to push more polygons, etc. So they kind of have to work in tandem from a visual standpoint, as in there, but also from an audio standpoint. What you'll see is that the Mega Drive will lay kind of some of the bass, some of the beat, and the 32X will lay its enhanced instrumentation over the top of it. And that's true for pretty much the majority of the Chaotix soundtrack. And no more is that apparent than it is for Midnight Greenhouse. Midnight Greenhouse has a really nice atmosphere about it, and that great 32X instrumentation is overlaid on top of some, you know, those classic Mega Drive beats, the ones that you hear and, you know, thumping in games like Streets of Rage and the original Sonic the Hedgehog games, you know, that brilliant instrumentation when you just think, yeah, there's a great beat behind these. So the bass, that those excellent sounds that the Mega Drive produces, they just augment that awesome 32X sound. And this is just another song that is just, it's atmospheric, it's funky, it's just really, really, really enjoyable. So this is Chaotix Midnight Greenhouse, released in 1995 with Mariko Namba and Junko Shiratsu producing the soundtrack. Let's have a listen. Those of you that are keeping score, so far we started with a Sega Saturn track, we had a Master System track, we had a Mega Drive track, we had a Game Gear track, we had a Mega CD track, we've had a 32X track. What's left? Well, the Sega Dreamcast. And I've gone for something a little bit left of field, albeit a song that is kind of near and dear to my heart. It's one that I listen to an awful lot. Well, not overly kind of selecting it as a kid, but it just played a lot in the game that I was playing. And this comes from, believe it or not, Sega Bass Fishing. Sega Bass Fishing is, in my opinion, just one of those quirky greats that really define the Dreamcast and is still best played on the Dreamcast with the official fishing rod controller. Now, this is also an arcade game, a Model 3 arcade game, though I can't quite remember offhand whether this particular stage is present in the Model 3 original. The way that I played it most of the time was on the Sega Dreamcast. Now, this is the theme for the inlet area, and the inlet area was pretty much the place where I would spend most of my time trying to catch fish and progress to the next area or finish the game, because, you know, you have the original lodge area, and that's relatively straightforward to catch some bass, get your quota, and then move on. But by the time you get to the inlet area, things are definitely a lot more challenging. So you'll be getting your fish, your big ones, your huge ones, but not as often. And you'll struggle to meet that initial kind of weight limit that you have to get for your fish. So you'll be listening to this song over and over again. And the thing is, the music ramps up. It's a lot more active and energetic than the previous areas, but it's still kind of chill and relaxing. I don't know, it's kind of a balance between the two. It's still a great song to fish to, and you know, you don't feel overly stressed, but you do get an understanding that, hey, you're in a later version part of the game now, you need to kind of buck your ideas up, and in the meantime you're running out of time and you're getting the guy going, come on, do it again. So this is, without further ado, this is the inlet area from the Sega Bass Fishing port on the Sega Dreamcast, released in 1999, and the song was produced by Makoto Iida. Now, this game I actually bought on import in early January. It was April or March 1999 when it first released, and I bought it with the gigantic fishing rod controller. In fact, for those of you that are watching on YouTube right now, I'm holding the box in my hand. It's a very nice package indeed. And yeah, I absolutely love my time with this game, and this soundtrack is just part of those memories. So hey, let's jump into it. I hope you agree that this is another great song. Sega consoles out of the way, what comes next? Well, it's time to go a little bit more modern. So I'm not going to go through all the consoles that Sega has released games for in the last 25 years. God, has it really been nearly 25 years since they stopped making Dreamcasts? Oh my god. But hey, we're going to pick on just one modern game from, you know, the last few years. And that game is Sonic Superstars. And you may be thinking, hey, Dan, the Mega Driver, Sonic Superstars soundtrack, not that great. I disagree. Sonic Superstars, yet the soundtrack does have a few hits and a few misses. And I think it actually has a lot more hits than it does misses. And really, from repeated play of the game over the last, is it 2 years, 3 years, the strengths of this title really have come alive to me. And from an audio perspective, even when Jun Sunui has used that that kind of FM synth sound that he's attempted that doesn't quite sound right, it's worked in the places where it's used, such as those Dr. Robotnik boss battles. And this song actually comes from Jun himself. And it's a song that, when I replayed this game recently, I actually found myself humming it, you know, in the shower, singing it when I was, you know, when there was no one around to listen to me. But this is the Sky Temple at One theme. Now, the Sky Temple is the third zone in Sonic Superstars, and it's got a little bit of a floating island feel about it. It's very mysterious, and the tune itself has that real mysterious Lost Cities feel about it. And what's interesting about this one is that you have both Jun Sunui and Rintaro Soma, both veterans of Sonic the Hedgehog music, collaborating on this one. And while there have been some critics of Jun's sound on Sonic Superstars, I think that his partnership with Rintaro here is pretty much spot on and produces one of the best tunes in the game. Now, don't get me wrong, there is actually a lot of fantastic music in this game. T. Lopes, his songs in there are also absolutely outstanding. But I think we've got to, you know, credit where credit's due with Jun and Rintaro. This is an absolute blinder. It's a song that is both evocative but modern at the same time. It modernizes that Mega Drive sound, that FM sound, but it doesn't sound raw or hoarse while doing it, and it maintains that air of mystery that the Sky Temple would exude on itself. So yes, this is one of my favourites from that game, and dare I say, probably one of my favourite Sega songs from the last few years. So without further ado, this is Sonic Superstars, yes, launched in 2024. This is Sky Temple Act 1. See if you agree with me on this one. I like it. Hopefully you do too. Okay, for the last couple of songs, we're going to really pick up the pace and give you some energy as we go into the final couple of tracks. Now we've done all the Sega consoles and we've done a modern song, but let's go into where it really matters, and this is from the arcade. Well, I say the arcade, this is originally an arcade game, obviously it got ported to the Sega Saturn, and this tune is from the game Virtual On, Cyber Troopers. Funnily enough, that's the full name of Cyber Troopers Virtual On. Originally, the West wanted to call it Cyber Troopers, Japan wanted to call it Virtual On, in the end they just decided to use both names in both areas, so there we go. Now, the Virtual On soundtrack is, and I keep saying this, don't I, but it is one of my absolute favourite soundtracks. It's just so high energy. It's got such beautiful, unique instrumentation. It really is an absolute fantastic soundtrack done by Kentaro Koyama. Now, Virtual On, when it released in arcades in 1996, was an absolute smash hit, particularly in Japan, because of the kind of the mecha and the adoration that fans have for mecha in that part of the world. And unfortunately it didn't translate to success over in the West, but yeah, it's still an absolutely phenomenal game, one that we have talked about on the channel before, and there is a video if you wanted to check that out. Now, this particular song, it's one of the late game tunes, and this is Earthlight. And yeah, this is one when you're in battle, and this is when you're actually kind of in space for those final few matches. You really get a sense of, again, a sense of urgency, against a sense of drama, and it really impresses upon you kind of the urgency and the direness of the situation. And you know, it really gets you pumped to win that battle, even though, hey, Virtual On, you know, if you're playing it on the normal difficulty or high, it can be a tough game, but it's a fantastic one. And the soundtrack and this specific song, you know, one of my absolute favorites. So hopefully you agree, and hopefully you enjoy Earthlight from Virtual On 1996 by Kentaro Koyama. Onto the last track now. So you probably think, okay, you guys are a little bit biased, aren't you? And we all have our favorites, don't we? And yeah, when it comes to the Sega guys, it is the Sega Saturn. So arcade games and Sega Saturn, you may notice that there's a lot of influence of that on here. And yes, in this last one, this is once more not quite a Sega game, but it was a game made for Sega hardware, and this is actually a game by Treasure. Now, Treasure have always been very closely associated with Sega from the very beginning, with, well, McDonald's Treasure Hunt, but most specifically Gunstar Heroes, then you've got Guardian Heroes. But this is one of my favorite games of all time, perhaps my favorite shoot 'em up of all time, and it is of course none other than Radiant Silver Gun, a soundtrack by Hitoshi Sakamoto. This game was released in 1998 to a absolutely overwhelmingly positive reception for the Sega Saturn. It did come under, kind of became a collector's item for a little while. It kind of still is, but I don't think it's actually that rare, you know, that's what I hear anyway. But nonetheless, it's a fantastic shoot 'em up, and I think the soundtrack to it goes a great way to kind of elevating that whole experience. And out of all of that fantastic soundtrack by Hitoshi Sakamoto, Evasion is my absolute favourite. There's just that epicness to the whole thing, that space opera feel. It feels space-aged the way that it's instrumented, but it still feels grand and epic. And for a shoot 'em up, it's kind of unique, but God, what a soundtrack it has. This is, as I say, an absolute favourite of mine. I do hope you enjoy the final song that I have picked, and this is Evasion from Radiant Silver Gun. And so that's the last song that I've chosen for you to listen to through the duration of this podcast. And hey, I hope you've enjoyed this one. It's been a little bit tricky doing it on my own on camera, but hey, it's not been too bad. And hopefully you think so too. So please let me know if you've enjoyed it, or if you've not. If you've not, then I won't do this again. But if you have, maybe we can do more of it, or maybe we can, you know, in the future when we do an episode 3, if you like listen to the music, maybe by then we'll have James back and we'll be able to present these songs together. Now, if you've enjoyed this episode, or if you stayed here to the very end, thank you so much for watching. Please, if you've enjoyed it, tell us what your favourite tracks are. Get in contact via the comments below or via the various Discords that we're part of, whether it's the Sega Guys Discord or Radio Sega. And hey, if you've been on YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, please leave a like and please subscribe, because that really helps the channel. And if you want to be Extra Mega, you can become a member with a bunch of awesome perks and from a membership that starts from as little as 99p. Now, our Akira All Access members get a host of the most premium content and all our videos early. And I'd like to shout out those members of the Akira All Access tier right now. They are Andy Mackey, Sancho0813, PabloPlays98, Drycass, David Owens, Kaiju Leviathan, Tom Fum, Greg Matthews, Nick Tulloch, Pewter007, Paul, Resident SD, Craig Williamson, 6344, Ian Mikowski, Stiff Peaks, and G-Man 84631. So thank you all of you for being so awesome and being Akira All Access members. And hey, if a membership isn't for you, we really appreciate you just staying until the very end, sharing, liking, and just, you know, contributing and enjoying part of the Sega content that we try to provide. Now, I'm going to leave you with one more song. And yes, I know I said we were done, but obviously we got credits to play here. You know, you've got to stay to the end to see the credits play out so you can see all the wonderful members that help the channel out. And while you're seeing that, we're going to play the Staff Roll theme from one of my childhood favourite games, World of Illusion, starring Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. This is one last song, and I'm not going to give it too much of an introduction. It's just a wonderful way to end that game, and I hope you think it's a wonderful song to end the podcast with. So enjoy this tune, and until next time, we will see you on the Sega side.